Our Father in heaven, the great almighty God, we thank you for this day of worship. May we come before your very presence to express our love for you, our faith in you, our desire to honor you in our lives. Father, we thank you that this is possible because in the depth of your love, you have first reached out to us. Father, we rejoice that in all situations that we go through, we have the assurance that you are a trustworthy and faithful God. We also know that you require of us to learn also to be trustworthy and faithful. We ask that you will teach us what this means and strengthen us to live it out in our lives. First, to be trustworthy and faithful to you, and then also to learn to be trustworthy and faithful to our loved ones, our friends, our brethren, and also in the various roles and responsibilities and contexts you placed us in. We entrust this time to your hands and we pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 62nd message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 31st message. The subtopic for today, trustworthy and faithful friend. Trustworthy and faithful friend. In the last message we have seen, being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord is of primary importance. To be a trustworthy and faithful servant of the Lord and also steward of all that he has entrusted to us. This was the primary concern of the Apostle Paul. It is also crucial for our readiness to meet the Lord. This ought to be the primary concern of our lives, that we are reliable and God can depend on us to faithfully manifest and transmit the truth as revealed in the scriptures, at the heart of which is the mystery. Not only transmitting the truth with our lips, but the moral and spiritual realities embodied in our being and manifested in our lives with full conviction. A life consistently reflecting these convictions, this is not easy. To be trustworthy and faithful to the Lord, moral, spiritual beauty and stature is of primary importance. The need for us to nurture good qualities of moral, spiritual beauty and stature in every aspect, especially our moral character, attitude, a healthy spirit, knowledge of the truth, spiritual maturity and wisdom, so that we can faithfully carry out what God has entrusted to us and transmit the truth effectively in the midst of spiritual opposition and wiles of the evil one. I wish to go on and consider with you the meaning of being trustworthy and faithful in the various aspects of life, relationships, roles and responsibilities. As a friend, a spouse, a parent, a child, in the workplace, as members of a congregation and member of the body of Christ. Not a total consideration of the subject of being trustworthy and faithful in the various roles and responsibilities, but from some angles. That is, the outworking and implications of what we covered in the last message on being faithful and trustworthy. But how do we go about considering being trustworthy and faithful in the various roles and responsibilities? For example, what it means to be a trustworthy and faithful friend, a true friend. What should we look for? What are our legitimate expectations of a faithful friend? And likewise, what does it mean to be a trustworthy and faithful spouse, a parent, a child, in the workplace, whether it be an employer, employee, superior, subordinate? How do we go about fulfilling these roles? And what should we look for and expect from others in the fulfillment of their roles and responsibilities? It is not uncommon for Christians to have wrong notions of what it means to be a trustworthy and faithful friend, spouse, parent, child, employer, employee, member of the congregation, and so on. unwholesome understanding of how we ourselves ought to fulfill our roles, as well as wrong expectations of how others should fulfill their roles. It seems to me one major reason why believers have wrong notions and expectations is because the starting point is wrong. What they expect of others, and also how they think they themselves should fulfill their roles, or how to meet the expectations of others, rather than how God looks at it and how God expects of his children. I see in our consideration of these issues, it is very important that this be our starting point, seeking to understand what it means to be trustworthy and faithful in the various roles and responsibilities from a biblical perspective. That is how God wants us to discharge our responsibilities in the different areas of life, not what others expect of us, if their expectations are inconsistent with what God expects of us. Nor should we hold on to wrongful expectations of others. We should not encourage or pressure others in the direction of whatever is contrary to what God would require of them. One point that is helpful for us to bear in mind is to learn to view being trustworthy and faithful in the various areas of life from the wider perspective of being trustworthy and faithful servant and steward of the Lord. Then we begin with this. The meaning of being trustworthy and faithful servant and steward of the Lord, and then view all these various roles and responsibilities as the outworking of what God has entrusted to us, what God requires of us in the fulfillment of these various roles. All considerations ought to be built on this foundation. That is, from a bigger picture, they should reflect our convictions and our primary concern about being faithful to God's call and the advancement of God's kingdom. That should be the big picture, and that should be our primary concern. The primary importance of being faithful to God's call and the advancement of God's kingdom, being faithful to God. From this, we consider the various roles and responsibilities, how to be faithful and trustworthy. Otherwise, our approach and outworking will not be wholesome and biblical. If we are not careful, we may also find that when we are considering how to be a faithful friend, we may consider in such a way the emphasis of it, or how to be faithful in the workplace, or to be a spouse. And then at other times, we consider how to be faithful to God. And then when we put them all together, we find it doesn't fit. But the proper approach of first considering the primary importance of being faithful to God and God's call, then we consider these other various roles and responsibilities, then we can see that they fit in nicely in line with what God requires of us as revealed in the scriptures. As we consider some examples and scenarios, it will be helpful for us to concentrate on the principles involved and the approach to take so that we can apply them to other contexts and scenarios. For today, I want to concentrate on the meaning of trustworthy and faithful friend. What comes to your mind when you think of a trustworthy and faithful friend? For many, various of these aspects will come to their mind. Someone who will stick with you through thick and thin. Someone who will support you under all circumstances. Someone you can depend upon to be on your side at all times. His presence, his words, his conduct make you feel happy, comfortable, pleasant. Someone with whom you will spend much time with, do many things together, talk about many things. Is this the meaning of a trustworthy and faithful friend? He will stick with you through thick and thin, support you under all circumstances, someone you can depend upon to be on your side at all times, make you feel happy, comfortable, pleasant, with whom you spend much time, and so on. Who is a true friend, a trustworthy and faithful friend from the biblical perspective? I'll summarize it this way. A trustworthy and faithful friend is one you can have confidence in and on whom you can rely upon to be genuinely and steadfastly concerned for your true welfare. One you can have confidence in and on whom you can rely upon to be genuinely and steadfastly concerned for your true welfare. In that sense, stick with you through thick and thin, support you under all circumstances, will not desert you in the midst of difficulties and pressures, but afterwards we will see what it does not mean. But it's in the direction of genuinely, steadfastly concerned for your true welfare under all circumstances, and he will not desert you just because there are difficulties, there are pressures. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 tells us, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. We need to view this from the biblical understanding of true love. We'll consider this a little more afterwards. Someone whose love for you will not falter and fail in the midst of pressures and difficulties, but he will steadfastly care for your true welfare, even in the midst of adversities, difficult times. He will not desert you. Someone whose friendship has been built up, if it is a meaningful one, then such a friend should not easily allow the friendship to be shaken, disrupted, adversely affected or destroyed by gossip, by false accusations, by misunderstandings, by wrong impressions and the drawing of wrong conclusions. There are times where situations may arise, where there may be questions, queries, but a true friend, where the friendship has been built up, will not easily allow these things to adversely affect that relationship, but will give room for clarification and the sorting out of things. But as we'll see afterwards, the true friendship must be grounded in the truth. This will be unlike what Job said of his intimate friends and relatives in the midst of his pain and suffering. Job chapter 19, verse 14. Job, in the midst of his difficulties, he found that many deserted him. Verse 14 of chapter 19, he says, my relatives have failed, and my intimate friends have forgotten me. Here in this context, the intimate friends forgetting him, it's not a question of lapse in memory. Here he's talking about the same direction of the relatives fail him. And those who are supposed to be close friends, intimate friends, they also fail him. Some because they misunderstood him and the meaning of his pain and suffering and what he was going through. Others because he was no longer wealthy, and the status, power, and influence that he had in society was no longer there. You can read this in the context of chapter 19. including, for example, verse 19, how it says, all my associates abhor me, and those I loved have turned against me, and so on, because of what happened to him. Or what David testified of his friends and loved ones in the midst of the difficulties he was going through in Psalm 38, verse 11. In Psalm 38, verse 11, David was going through a period of difficulties, and he said, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They distance themselves from him because of the difficulties he was going through. But that is not the meaning. That is not what a trustworthy and faithful friend would do. Instead, a trustworthy and faithful friend is one whose love and concern for you is steadfast under all circumstances. As we saw in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, he will love you at all times. He will continue to be concerned for your true welfare, whatever the circumstances. He will not distance himself from you just because you are going through difficulties. The pressures are on. A faithful and trustworthy friend is one with whom you have the freedom to share your joys as well as your sorrows, your struggles, as well as your positive developments. Not because you have to, but because it is meaningful for you to do so. Someone you can have confidence in, who will support you in a direction of living a life pleasing to God. And this is a critical qualification. The trustworthy and faithful friend is one whom you know will always be supportive of you. In what sense? In the direction of what really counts. True love for you. And that is in the direction of living a life pleasing to God. That is what he will always support you, in that direction. Not necessarily measured by how much time you spend together, how many things you do together, how many things you talk about. Because there are times where circumstances are such, there are some whom you may not have opportunity or may not be so feasible to spend much time together, but when you're with them, when the opportunity is there, you'll find that you have the freedom to share the deeper things in your heart with a person. As I said, not because you have to, but you'll find it meaningful to do so, and you have the freedom to do so. You trust him. You have confidence in him. There are those with whom you spend much time with, doing many things together, and many may tend, if they are not careful, to think that these are the good friends. But there are those whom you spend much time with, doing many things together, and many may regard this as true, as good friends. But the things you talk about with them, the things you do together, are relatively superficial and trivial. And you do not have the freedom to share the important and deep things in your heart. And when you face major struggles and problems, you do not have the freedom to turn to them and share with them. And you cannot depend on them to share your burdens and go through with you your struggles and your pain. And this is not uncommon. Many in this world have many friends. They can talk about many things, but they are superficial. All kinds of things, they'll joke, they'll laugh, they'll do many things together. But when you are in real difficulties, you don't have the freedom to turn to them. Or worse, when you turn to them, you find that they keep their distance, they turn away. They are not interested in sharing your struggles and your pain and supportive of you in the direction of what is pleasing to God, because it is difficult. So more important consideration of a trustworthy and being a trustworthy and faithful friend would be not so much how much time you spend with them, how comfortable you are with them, although that is not totally irrelevant, but it depends on the meaning of being comfortable. And as I go on, you will see why I say that. But a more important consideration would be when you are trying to pause and consider, do I have trustworthy and faithful friends? Something that you can think about. It is important to us to have trustworthy and faithful friends. But who are your trustworthy and faithful friends? Important consideration would be, with whom do you have relative confidence and freedom to share the important and deep things in your heart? Who do you turn to when you have important issues and major problems? These are your trustworthy and faithful friends. And of course, it would be good if they can also give you wise counsel. But even if they are not able, in a position, to give you good counsel, you have the confidence that they will still give you a genuine listening ear and positive encouragement and support. And as I mentioned just now, it's support in the sense of supportive in the direction of living a life pleasing to God. You know that you can trust them, that they will genuinely in their hearts, not just with their lips, be supportive of you and a positive encouragement to you in that direction. That, even then, if that is present, then even if they are not able to give you wise counsel, that is still a trustworthy and faithful friend. A trustworthy and faithful friend is one in whom you have confidence that he will not betray your trust. Trustworthy, he will not betray your trust. That he will not be negative toward you. He will not do anything to harm you or damage your life or turn away from you or go against you for personal, self-centered reasons, gain or advantage. There are many who will flock around you when it is advantageous to them. There are also those who will stick around when it doesn't cost them much. But not so many will stick around and continue to be positive towards you when it is really difficult. But worse will be those who, because of personal, self-centered reasons, turn against you. A trustworthy and faithful friend is one you can have confidence will not do that, even under spiritual pressure. And there's something that it's not so easy to appreciate, because under spiritual pressure, we can come in many different forms. One who generally will not betray you, will be positive towards you, can become that way. You can also have confidence in a trustworthy and faithful friend that will not betray your trust, in the sense that he will be responsible in the way he handles what he knows about you. As you relate with him, you get to know more about him, but the others, you share the deeper things in your heart with him. But you can trust that he'll be responsible in the way he handles what he knows about you, what you share with him, especially sensitive matters. That he will not carelessly disseminate it in an irresponsible manner. What I want to emphasize is careless or irresponsible, or use it in a manner that is inappropriate, inaccurate, or unfair and detrimental and damaging to you or others or to the Lord's work. That is what is displeasing in the eyes of the Lord. Even under spiritual pressure, because of personal, self-centered reasons, gain or advantage. But as you'll see afterwards, there'll be contexts where a faithful and trustworthy friend will speak up when God requires of him. But he will not, in an irresponsible way, mishandle, disseminate sensitive things in a manner that's damaging for personal reasons, in a manner that's displeasing to the Lord. However, a trustworthy and faithful friend will not support you in the sense of agreeing with you and take sides with you even when you are in the wrong. This is where many have wrong expectations of a friend. We like people to support us, to take sides with us, no matter what the situation. But this would be a wrong expectation of a trustworthy and faithful friend. A trustworthy and faithful friend will not support you in the sense of agreeing with you and take sides with you even when you are in the wrong. That is not being a true friend to you, nor what you should look for in a trustworthy friend, and also not what you should be towards your friend. Because he's your friend, you will take sides with him, you will agree with him even when he's in the wrong. You should not do that. Not taking sides with your friend when he is in the wrong may not be easy. At times it can be very difficult. And you may even lose your friend. He may no longer want to be your friend. But it is important to take your stand. That is the meaning of being truly trustworthy. Why? There are at least two important reasons. One is that trustworthy and faithful must be love in truth. We have seen a friend, a true friend, loves at all times, but this love is in truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, a verse we are familiar with. Paul wrote, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." Speaking the truth in love, literally the text there, is not speaking. It includes speaking, but it's being truthful. Literally, it's being truthful in love. Being truthful, that is, all we are and all we do and say. Our lives manifest truth. Truth in love. And the context of Paul's words is the context of our working of healthy church life and fellowship amongst the brethren. Being truthful in love. A true friend loves, cares, but it is in the truth. So when you're in the wrong and he agrees with you, he sides with you, that would not be in truth. That would not be the expression of a true and faithful friend. Secondly, trustworthy and faithful to God must always come first, before all else. On the basis of which we do all things and seek to be trustworthy and faithful in the various roles and responsibilities. I mentioned this quickly, briefly just now in passing at the beginning. We must first and foremost be trustworthy and faithful to God. And to be trustworthy and faithful to God, we cannot agree with anyone, even if he's your friend, and say he is right when he is wrong. We cannot take sides with him when he is in the wrong. A trustworthy and faithful friend will speak up what God desires of him, even if he knows it will be uncomfortable or painful for his friend. Because, first and foremost, he has to be trustworthy and faithful to God, and this is also the way to truly be faithful to your friend. Take note that taking sides with your friend when he is in the wrong, though he may like it, not all, some like it, many would like it, but when you take sides with your friend when he's in the wrong, it is actually not an expression of true love for him and true concern for his welfare. It will not be helpful for him. And so when you do that, you're actually not truly a trustworthy and faithful friend to him, or not a proper expression of faithful, trustworthy friend. So a trustworthy and faithful friend is one whom you can trust. In what sense trust? That he will faithfully love and care for you in the truth. That is the faithful and trustworthy friend from the biblical perspective. This may not be how the world looks at it, but for Christians, this is how we need to appreciate the meaning of trustworthy and faithful friend. And to be a trustworthy and faithful friend may mean you have to point out to your friend that he is in the wrong. And now I would want to consider a little more with you on this difficult area. To point out to your friend he is in the wrong out of love and concern for him can be very difficult. But a true friend will not shrink away from it just because it is difficult. Though we should take care to do so prayerfully and in an understanding manner. And if we ourselves are at the receiving end, we must also learn to appreciate it and receive it well from our friend. But this is not easy, especially for some of us, and some things are more difficult to take. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Wounds, pain, can flow forth from the conduct of a faithful friend. It can be painful, and yet it can be faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So the words and conduct of a faithful friend may not always be pleasant to our ears or make us feel happy and comfortable. But they are not intended to harm us, but to help us. So as I said earlier, we shouldn't measure whether friend or not friend just from the angle of whether they make us happy. And we are in their presence, we are very comfortable. Yes, there is a positive sense of being comfortable. Comfortable in the sense that you can trust them. You can share the burdens of your heart, your joys, your sorrows. But what they say may at times give you pain, make you feel uncomfortable. But out of genuine love, they share these things with you. Does it mean then that we should point out to our friends whenever they are in the wrong? The answer may seem to be yes, but in my understanding, it is not all the time. When should we do so? When not to do so? I'll just briefly share some scenarios and considerations, because this is quite relevant, and we do face these issues in our daily lives. Yes, we should point out, share with them when in our assessment they are able to take it, and learn and benefit from it. It is even if painful, difficult, but in our assessment, they can take it, they can learn from it, they can benefit from it, we should share with them. Yes, we should still go ahead and share with them, even when we think they are not able to take it well. There are some who cannot, as far as we can understand, they cannot take it well. But we should still go ahead and do so, even though in our understanding we think they are not able to take it well, but on the whole, we still think that they will benefit from it. A person cannot take it very well does not mean that he will not benefit from it. Does it mean then we always point out to them when they are in the wrong? I don't think so. We may refrain from doing so when we think they will react negatively, and the net effect is negative. I'll qualify this soon, but generally, we should not simply go ahead. We should prayerfully look to the Lord to consider whether, and there are situations where it may be clearer to us, that if we go ahead, they will react negatively, the net effect will be negative, then we may refrain from doing so. But we may still go ahead and share with them if we think that though they may react negatively for the time being, but subsequently, it will still do them good. There are some whom, as far as you can gauge, yes, they'll react negatively, but it's just for the time being. The time being may be for a short while, 1 hour, 2 hours, it may be for a day, for a week. But the time being may even stretch for a month, or 2 months, few months. But as far as we understand, yes, subsequently, they will still benefit from it. And taken as a whole, it will still be a helpful thing to share with them. But the other qualification is that we will still go ahead even if we think they will react negatively, if in our understanding it is needful under the circumstances, and the Lord wants us to do so. And there are situations in life where it is like that. We pray to the Lord, we hope they will receive it well, they will benefit from it. But even if, as far as you can understand, they will react negatively, they will not take it well. But there are many things we need to consider in that situation, and it is needful. And after prayerful consideration, we recognize that the Lord wants us to do so. Then we may still have to go ahead. This still comes under what we mentioned earlier, the faithfulness to God must always come first. And we understand that the Lord wants us. It is needful under the situation, under the circumstances to do so, we may have to proceed. But sometimes it may be better to wait for a more suitable moment to do so. And sometimes it may be best not to say anything. Or it may be best to leave it to another or to leave it to others. And there are situations whereby it may be best just to commit the matter to the Lord in prayer. So it does not mean that we should always point out to our friends whenever we think they are in the wrong. But we do not shrink from doing so just because it is difficult, just because it is unpleasant. The general principle and approach is that we should prayerfully seek the Lord to understand what the Lord wants of us, what He wants us to do, and then to act accordingly. This is always the overriding principle, the meaning of being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord being primary, on the basis of which we do all things. And the way we learn to be trustworthy and faithful in fulfilling our roles and responsibilities the way God desires of us. That is, we shouldn't just look at it from the angle of being a trustworthy and faithful friend, trustworthy and faithful parent, child, spouse, and so on. but rather to look at all these various responsibilities from the angle of roles and responsibilities, how God wants us to discharge these responsibilities. In other words, not just between you and a friend, not just between you and your spouse, you and your child, or your parent, your employer, your employee, and so on, your colleagues, your schoolmates. It is to seek to understand what God requires of you, how God wants you to act and fulfill your role. Some concluding remarks, aspects to bear in mind. Now, consideration of the subject of being a trustworthy and faithful friend. How far should a true friend be prepared to go in the expression of his love and concern for his friend? According to the teaching and example of the Lord Jesus, it is all the way. There is no limit. John chapter 15, verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. The Lord Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." So a trustworthy and faithful friend is one who would steadfastly care for you, whatever it may cost him, or put it the other way around, yourself, what you should be prepared to do. Steadfastly care for your friend, whatever it may cost you. A very important qualification, it is in the Lord and in the truth. This is a very important qualification. It is a framework within which we care for people. According to the guidance of the Lord, according to the will of the Lord, but genuinely in our hearts, we must be prepared to love and to care whatever that may involve. In the Lord and in the truth. That is how the Lord Jesus himself loved us. Supremely manifested at the cross, yes, but not just at the cross, it is throughout his life. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." We can read this as an instruction to us, to his disciples. But in the context, it is also quite clear to us that the Lord Jesus here is also talking about himself and his love. Because he went on to say, after saying, "Greater love has no man, no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends," he went on to say, "You are my friends." Which means he's prepared, and in fact he does. He laid down his life for his friends. Not just at the cross, but throughout his life. The way he lived his life, but he was prepared to pay the ultimate price. Not just death, but the terrible agony of death on the cross. But bear in mind, we do not just carelessly put our lives in danger. Remember the important qualification, according to the will of the Lord. The Lord Jesus loved, expresses love for us, and there's no limit to it, even the death of the cross, but it is according to the will of God. But this qualification of according to the will of God is not an escape clause. It's not something whereby you will just conveniently use because you're not prepared for the difficulties. No, what the Lord Jesus teaches us here is a genuine preparedness to care and love your friend, whatever it may cost you. In accordance with what is appropriate in the eyes of the Lord. we can say this is the way to be a trustworthy and faithful friend. We may often be considering from the angle of what to look for in a faithful and trustworthy friend. But I think the scriptural emphasis is first of all for us to consider how to be a trustworthy and faithful friend. Yes, you would appreciate it if we can have trustworthy and faithful friends. But what God requires of us is not how many faithful and trustworthy friends we can have, but that we be trustworthy and faithful friends. And we'll see that this is actually how God wants us to live toward all our brethren. If you look at verse 12 of John chapter 15, before the Lord Jesus spoke what he said in verse 13, in verse 12 he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." So this is how the Lord Jesus says we are to love one another, the love for the brethren, just as I have loved you. How? A preparedness to lay down his life. The kind of love the Lord Jesus has for us, we are to have this kind of love for one another. There is no withholding, whatever it may cost us, for the genuine welfare of our brethren. So we see here that this kind of attitude and love of a trustworthy and faithful friend is something that God wants us, the Lord Jesus wants us to be this way towards all the brethren, not just some selected few. The Apostle John expresses it this way in 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." As I mentioned just now, John chapter 15 verse 13 is a teaching, an example of the Lord Jesus. This is what he teaches. He also shows us how to live it out by the example of his own life. And John, 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, the Apostle John tells us, we know love by this, our appreciation of the love of the Lord Jesus. He laid down his life for us. And following the example of the Lord Jesus, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The meaning, implication of these verses that we've been considering is this, that it means a sincere devotion of our lives to the welfare and well-being of our brethren. Not just when it's pleasant, not just when it's easy, but a genuine, sincere devotion of our lives to their welfare and well-being. If we want to live out this life well, it is important that we look to the Lord for wisdom and enabling. How to express it to the different ones in the most appropriate and effective manner. Because otherwise, we may be at a loss how to live out this kind of life. And there are also many needs and many expectations. So there are many things that we can do that can be helpful and expressions of love to people. And many have many requests, as well as there are many with many needs. How do we go about living our lives in accordance with the teaching of the Lord Jesus and the teaching of the scriptures? It is important for us to look to the Lord for wisdom, for guidance, and also the enabling. How we can express it to different ones in the most appropriate and effective manner. And if we are all submitted to the Lord, God in his wisdom will guide us. The different ones of us will then fulfill and work out our lives in different ways that will most meaningfully, effectively meet the needs of different ones and outworking an expression of love in the most effective way. So this is how we should we prove ourselves a trustworthy and faithful friend, and how we should encourage one another to live out our lives. Not just consideration of between our own self and a particular friend. What I expect of you, what you expect of me, how I can fulfill your expectations, how you can fulfill my expectations. But at the heart of it is a humble submission to the Lord. Yes, a heart, asking the Lord to fill our hearts with divine love, to know how to faithfully love others, and how we can prove ourselves trustworthy and faithful friends. But to work it out well, we must submit to the Lord, His guidance and His enabling, how to live out our lives in an appropriate manner. And the important aspect of the outworking of this life is what we have seen just now, being truthful in love. This is very central that we must always bear in mind. We've seen how this is what Paul urges us in our working of church life in Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And even as we all submit to Christ, the head, we know that He will not lead us except in the path of truth, love in truth. So this must always be a guiding principle in the way we seek to prove ourselves trustworthy and faithful friends. Being truthful in love, in all we are, all we do, and all we say. We may stumble and fail, but we must keep coming back to this basic position. This is how we should seek to live our lives. But we must bear in mind that even when we faithfully live out this life, or as we seek to live out this life, It does not guarantee that there will always be positive, friendly response from others at all times. We must be prepared for this. Consider the experience of the Apostle Paul. Galatians 4:16. Paul was pouring out his heart to the Galatians, out of deep love and concern for them. He labored for their welfare, and now he poured out his heart to them in this epistle. And yet in verse 16 of chapter 4, he wrote, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth." Paul wrote this because he knew that although what he wrote and all that he did was out of love for the Galatians, they may not receive it well. This includes the context of, or you may ask, why would they react against him? Why would they be unhappy with him? The context you see in this epistle includes Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, where he rebuked them, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Verse 3 of chapter 3. "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So some of the things that Paul wrote may not go down well with them. They may not like to hear these things. And they may react against him. Against Paul, that is. Paul knew that this could happen. And so he wrote, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" But if indeed we are living in this way, if as far as we can understand, we are faithfully living our lives in this manner, being truthful in love, genuine love, faithfulness to the Lord, then we must persevere. Even if we are misunderstood, we are slandered, and whatever the response of others, this is the approach of Paul's life consistently, generally. And we can see this reflected in two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. We see here Paul's deep concern for the Corinthians, just as for the Galatians and for all others amongst whom he labored. We pray to God that you do no wrong. You do what is right. That is Paul's genuine concern for them. That their lives be right with God. Whether in the end Paul appears approved or not, that is not his primary concern. Not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. Whatever it may be, his primary concern, that they do what is right. They live lives that are pleasing to God. It doesn't mean that Paul is not concerned whether his life is approved by God. He says, even though we ourselves may appear unapproved. And then verse 8, he says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, not that it is not possible physically, but rather that he will not. This is a guiding principle in his life. He just cannot do that. Against his character, he will not. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. To walk in truth, to promote truth. And in times past, I've mentioned that the word truth in the scriptures, in various contexts, including in this context, it's not just what is, but what ought to be, what is suitable, appropriate in the kingdom of God. Just as in walking in truth, and grace and truth were manifested in the life, were realized in Christ, manifested in the life of Christ. In that sense, Paul will not do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. However, having said this, we must also be prayerful and careful in our lives. If people are offended or people react negatively towards our conduct and our ways and what we say, we must prayerfully evaluate whether we are conducting ourselves the way God desires of us, or there's something amiss in our lives, in our conduct, in our approach, or even in our hearts. And we must be opened to the comments of others. Genuinely opened, evaluate, but commitment to faithfulness to God must be unwavering and uncompromising. However difficult, painful, this is what we must be committed to. Faithfulness to God, primary. Trustworthy and faithful servant of the Lord. So just some closing words for your prayerful consideration on this subject of trustworthy, faithful friend. Strong, stable, quality friendship that can stand the test, including trials and pressures, take place in the context of those whose lives are consecrated to the Lord and commitment to love and truth. For there to be strong, stable, quality friendship, we can stand the test, then this is critical. Lives that are consecrated to the Lord, and there is a strong commitment to love and to truth. The potential for growth in depth and quality of friendship is related to growth in moral, spiritual, beauty and stature, and depth of relationship with God. If we are looking for stable, strong, quality friendship, or we want to be true friends, faithful friends, friendship that will stand the test, then consecration to the Lord, commitment to truth, to love is critical. The other is growth in depth and quality of friendship. I mentioned potential. Potential because sometimes there are other factors, other reasons why it may not develop well. But for there to be potential for growth in depth and quality of friendship, then it is related, closely related to growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Without growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, then the depth and quality cannot grow and deepen much. And likewise, depth of relationship with God. We've seen in the fulfillment of God's purposes, these two aspects are vital. What God intends for us, for our lives, growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, depth of relationship with God. And when these two are moving on well and growing in quality and depth, then likewise, there can be the potential for growth in depth of quality of friendship. And of course, all these three areas are very much at the heart of what God intends for man when He created us in His image. Growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, depth of quality of relationship with Him, and also depth of quality of relationship with one another. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on the depth of God's love for us. The Lord Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Let us reflect on the Lord Jesus as our trustworthy and faithful friend. Not only when he laid down his life for us at the cross, but even now and every day, we can turn to him and look to him as the ultimately trustworthy and faithful friend. But it's also God's desire and the desire of the Lord Jesus that we prove to be trustworthy and faithful friends to our brethren and to others. That we should learn to love the brethren even as he has loved us. The same kind of quality of love and steadfastness. And not shrink away just because there are difficulties in the way, just because it is unpleasant. Not to turn away in the midst of pressures. As the Apostle John tells us, even as Christ laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let us reflect on whether is there this commitment in our hearts to a sincere devotion of our lives to the welfare and well-being of our brethren. Let us also prayerfully consider whether we have been trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord, as this is primary. Are we trustworthy and faithful servants of the Lord and stewards of all that He has entrusted to us? And as we seek to be trustworthy and faithful to the Lord, within that framework, learn to be trustworthy and faithful in the fulfillment of our various roles and responsibilities to our loved ones, our brethren, our friends, and in society. Let us look to the Lord that He may correct our understanding if there are aspects in our thinking, in our approach that is not wholesome, if there are areas where we have failed. Let us look to the Lord that may have the freedom to show us if there are corrective measures we should take. Let us ask the Lord to strengthen us that we may learn to do so. that indeed, when we partake together Lord's Supper, we may all be able to partake together in sincerity and in truth, with unwavering, uncompromising commitment to the Lord and sincere love for the brethren. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the depth of your love toward us. Thank you for all that you've done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, watching over our lives, caring for us in every way. We pray, Father, that you will also help us to understand what it means to be true and faithful to you, and also to be trustworthy and faithful friends to others, and how to fulfill the various roles and responsibilities you've entrusted to us. Father, we know that there are many situations of life where we are often puzzled, at times at a loss, how to understand, how to respond. But we know that you're the God of perfect wisdom who knows all things. And we look to you, and we ask that you also help us to learn to be prayerful and to know your leading, your guidance. That our hearts may be open to what you have to say to us, whether pleasant or unpleasant, we may be open to you and able to receive your guidance. Thank you for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you help us to partake in faith, that our hearts and spirit may be strengthened afresh by the life of the Lord Jesus. As we partake, we ask that you will also help us to partake with affirmation of our commitment to you and your ways. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.